You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Hi, it's Susan Morgan Bailey. Welcome to this episode of The Growth Collective. So we're here today to talk about what we can learn from a forest and a trees in the forest and what that has to do with culture in an organization. I've been in the field of health and well-being for a long time, helping organizations design strategies to take care of their people. And in the last few years, it's become really evident as we have more young folks working in the workforce that there's an evolution going on in how, in terms of how we think about taking care of employees and expanding the thinking around that. So I want to start today with a story that I think exemplifies the concept that we're trying to build. And when we think about it, I want to start as if we're a forester. So imagine that we've got Sally, and Sally wants to grow a forest. She wants to grow a forest to make maple syrup. So she's got a purpose. She's going to make the best, most delicious, most pure and healthy, if there is such a thing, maple syrup out there. And in order to do that, she's going to need a certain kind of tree to do that. She's going to need a maple tree. Can't get maple syrup from pine trees and palm trees. She needs maple trees. In addition to that, she needs ground and soil and space that are going to really fit the needs of a maple tree. Now, I'm not going to get into the specifics of that today, but you know, think about the soil's got to have the right quality of nutrients, the right balance between acid and so on. It's got to be good foundation for those trees. Beyond that, soil needs, she's also going to need to think about the climate that she grows that forest in. Is she going to put the forest in Florida or the tropics? Or are we going to go for, you know, a cold area? Not likely. She's probably going to pick something that's a little temperate and has many seasons because that's the way we know maple trees grow best. Now, she's got her tree. She's got her space. She knows the climate she's going to put it in, and she's found the right soil. If Sally were to go in and just plant the trees all by themselves, they might grow, but they might not grow as fast or as strong or as healthily if they aren't surrounded by a balance of other plants and animals. Those plants and animals are key to the overall ecosystem that surrounds those trees. Need to have a balance of microscopic organisms all the way up to the big ones that we see, the deer and the raccoons that fill that forest. In addition, we have to have a variety of food sources, plant food sources and animal food sources that are going to surround those trees in order for them really to grow and thrive. And so I want to talk a little bit about the basics of the structure of the forest ecosystem. The trees in the forest are what are known as primary producers. Trees are responsible for converting the sun's energy into food for different levels below it in the forest. And by levels, I mean it might be microscopic animals that live in the bark. It might be the animals that eat the leaves or the different products that come off of those trees, and acorns and so on from trees that produce acorns. So without the tree, there is nothing to convert the sun's energy to food for lower levels of the forest. So they're known as primary producers. There's other levels of the forest, secondary producers, the different animals that also provide food and nutrition to other elements. But really, without the trees, you have no forest because they are the primary producers. So when we think about a healthy ecosystem in a forest and Sally's syrup growing efforts, in order for it really to work, she's got to have the right soil, the right area, the right climate, the right plants and animals, a balance of diversity, and a good ecosystem that is complex and yet simple at the same time, because the focus of that organ of that forest is very clear. We're growing maple syrup here. So the other piece of the puzzle that is important is that if Sally were to plant all the trees and get all the pieces and parts together on day one and walk away, It is not likely that the forest would continue to flourish at the level that she hoped it would. She may need to monitor some things, make sure things are working out. But if she were to leave the forest and just plant it and walk away, somewhere between 50 and 150 years later, that forest would naturally progress and grow, and eventually it would die off. That's a natural maturation process that forests go through, and anywhere between 50 to 150 years. So I share that whole story to set the stage for a similar ecosystem that organizations are looking to build within the in their own spaces. So let's take a different story. Now we've got Joe. Joe wants to run a company, and he wants to be leading that company for a long time. He wants it to be sustainable because Joe's got a couple kids that he envisions someday will also be working in that organization. Now, Joe makes a product that he feels really passionate about. And, you know, Joe actually makes glass bottles for many things, including really good maple syrup. Joe feels passionate about it. They love pancakes and anything you could put maple syrup on. It's just something that's part of their family. It's something they believe in, and they believe in making good quality products. He's got passion and energy for that. So Joe's got a company, and he wants it to be around for a long time. The same way Sally has a forest, and she wants it to be healthy and thrive for a long time. The same way Sally built her forest, Joe thinks about building his organization. He knows why he's doing it. He wants to make great quality glass bottles for whoever needs them, including his friend Sally's maple syrup. He makes sure that the people that are working for the organization are a really good match for the work that they do. He needs a lot of different people. He wants them to be thinkers and creative and not just follow the norms. He wants them to have passion for the products that they're building. And so he intentionally looks for those people when he hires them. He's got a whole matrix set up to make sure that the people he's finding are a good fit for the ecosystem that he's building within that company. Beyond that, in the same way that Sally put thought into the ground and the climate that she was going to plant her forest in, Joe thinks about that workspace. He knows, because he's seen the research, that access to natural light actually improves overall well-being. So even though they're in a factory environment, he's given time and energy to thinking about the lighting that surrounds the organization, to thinking about putting actual windows in the plant so that people can see out and they don't feel like they're working in a vacuum each day. He's created the work environment so that it's clean and open, and in the office spaces, folks can communicate and yet have their time where they can easily be in solo space and get work done. And those are just a few examples of the intentionality that Joe put in to the effort he made to create a workspace that really helps folks thrive in the organization. Now, like Sally, Joe didn't just set it and forget it. He didn't build a great workspace, hire the right people, and then just let it run itself. He's actually taken it a step further, and he's thinking about, what am I doing to help continue building an ecosystem or a culture in this organization that supports the thriving of my primary producers, who are my people? Because without my people, I wouldn't have an organization. Same way as if there are no trees, there is no forest. So he does a lot of things, really has a whole strategy built around making sure his folks are thriving. And it starts with manager training, making sure his leaders really have strong background experience in training. And if they don't, he provides them training to help them grow, because we all have room to grow and get better. He also makes sure that systems in place that the folks on the team don't get overworked, if we don't want to have one part of the ecosystem doing too much of the work. Beyond that, Joe has taken steps to make sure, just like a forest is a balance of diversity, that the organization has diversity within it. He's got a lot of different people, even though they have similar work ethic and a few different personality characteristics that really fit the type of work they're doing. He's always looking for diversity of thought, ideas, backgrounds, experience, so that they can continue to innovate, because innovation is part of who they are as an organization. beyond that, you know, as he thinks about his people, he's super connected to them. Joe isn't over in that office in the corner of the plant. Every day he's out on the floor. He's talking to the people. He's connecting with them. He knows the names of their kids. He knows what's going on in their families. He knows that he's got a bunch of humans that go home and have lives outside of work every day. And he connects with them at a human level and really understands who they are and can actually probably tick off a little bit of what makes them tick. His managers are the same way because, you know, Joe, he's the CEO. He's got a lot to do. So it's not every day that he's going to have time to talk to Sally about what's going on with his kids, but he has certainly trained his leaders to connect with everybody and create those personal relationships. Beyond that, Joe has designed, along with his leader team, they've come up with a recognition system that really connects to people and leads to recognition in a way that is relevant to the employees. They've got a few different systems. One example is, you know, they've got folks when they innovate and really find a way to save the organization money and or avoid waste and reducing their cost, they've got a recognition system in place where they'll publicly recognize folks. What they found, though, is that a lot of times people really like their families and friends to know about the good work they did because the people they hire are so passionate about the work they do. It really goes beyond the walls of the organization. These are people who go home and talk about the fun things and the interesting things, the innovative work that they do every day. And so Joe has found a way to connect that public recognition to outside the organization. He actually invites family members, spouses, parents, whoever those very near family members are that they believe the employee would like to see them get recognized in a public way, they bring them in. Now, that said, they've got a few employees who aren't so keen on the public recognition. He's still trying to figure out how do I recognize those folks without putting them in an uncomfortable position. But again, he's so in tune with the idea that not everybody likes to be recognized the same way, but people do like to be recognized for the good work and the contributions they make. And those recognition and the work that they do contributes and can overflow into the life outside the office. As we think about Joe and the work that he's done, I think that one of the keys is that is the hardest thing is, you know, Joe reflects on what it's like to be the organization leader in an organization that is super purpose driven, is that it's a never ending effort. You know, and in a way that where he's seen the outcome of it, employees who are super committed, that go above and beyond, that are highly engaged, that are happy to tell their friends and neighbors about the work they're doing and, you know, that help recruit when they need employees. You know, Joe is always paying attention and checking in on those things that unfortunately many organizations see as soft or things they don't have time for. But Joe has built a process around those because he wants to have a long-term organization that isn't just in business for a short time, turn and burn, but rather will be around for generations to come so that his family can have a living and something that they can focus on and bring their passion to in the future. So I just outlined for you two examples of Forrest and Sally, who's a business owner. She wants to run a business, but she's really thinking about how do I create a Forrest? And Joe, who wants to create a successful bottling factory. The parallels are quite extraordinary. And when I think about what happens traditionally in organizations, for me, the excitement comes when I can see the opportunities to look bigger beyond the employees. Unfortunately, what I see in so many organizations is a huge focus on the employees to do more, to deliver, despite what's happening around them. And when we think about an environmental situation, if you're in a forest and you're trying to grow trees in that forest and it's in a climate that is harsh, where there is a lot of stress on those plants and animals, whether it's too much cold, too much hot, not enough water, that similar thing can happen in a work environment. If there is too much stress on those employees, if they aren't recognized for the good work they're doing, if they aren't given an opportunity to rest and relax and take a break, the organization runs the risk that they are going to have folks who are going to leave and be burned out the same way that if those trees are under that high stress environment for too long, they're not going to thrive and they may in fact come to an early demise. So as I think about organizations, you know, I've watched over the years, some organizations really get it. And they have found a way to take care of their folks. And it is a continuous effort, something that they are always looking to innovate and improve. While others, I hear that there's a desire to do it, but they get stuck. And I love the forest analogy because of the simplicity of it and that it provides structure for us to think through those steps towards how do we take care of our people. And how do we make it be not just about the people, but about the whole organization? So when we think about if your goal as an organization is about providing resources for consumption, you've got a reason for being. And if you're also looking at creating opportunities for people to contribute, and if you're ready to think about giving them resources both to your employees but the community that surrounds you, then you might be ready to become a forester like Sally or a leader like Joe in his maple factory. So I want to think a little bit about some of the analogy here and break it apart. For the leader or HR person who's listening to this, who's thinking, okay, I can see this, I can imagine it, but break it down for me. What are the pieces and parts and how do I bring it together? And that's really what this podcast is going to be about. We're going to talk to leaders, we're going to talk to HR folks, and we're going to break it down. Because when it comes to it, we need to think about what are those nutrients and resources that help the individuals in an organization thrive? What is the culture that surrounds them? And so I want to briefly just talk to you, you know, culture has a lot of different definitions. The one I default to, it's the way we do things around here. And really, how do you know what your culture is like? One of the best ways to find out is to seek the stories. What are the stories people tell about why they work there, why they like working there, why they stay working there, and what they tell their friends when they're trying to bring them in? Those are those culture elements. I mean, they are harder to capture, but there is a way to structure the processes and the setup in your organization so the stories that come out are great. The climate is really that surrounding atmosphere in the organization that helps people thrive. So culture and climate go together the same way they influence the trees in a forest, they influence employees in an organization. And if I think about a climate example, you know, climate example is when, we have a recession and we're doing more with less, which I feel like happens, you know, at never ending, always going on. But when we have a recession and we've got less folks doing more of the work, that's a climate that's a high stress climate. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of pressure that can be tiring and exhausting. That's a climate influencer. So we'll get into more of that as we go through the podcast over the next few episodes. So breaking it down, a couple things I would just say here to get you thinking and get the wheels turning. First thing we need to do is help the individuals in the organization thrive. They are your key. They are your primary producers. So when we work with organizations, we start by breaking out and looking at and really just inventorying what are all the good things you do as an organization? What are you doing to support physical well-being, financial well-being, mental and emotional health, social well-being, both internally and externally with family members, spouses, friends, community well-being, and then professional well-being. So it's a multifaceted approach. It's not just about the physical, and frankly, financial well-being has a significant influence on physical and mental well-being. We know that social well-being is more influential on overall longevity than tobacco use. These things all play together. You can't have one. You can't just focus on the physical. Really, if you want your folks to thrive, you have to be thinking about the bigger picture. Now, we can't just throw fertilizer on the trees, aka throw resources at the employees and say, grow, do better. We really have to think about that environment that surrounds those individuals and helps them thrive. So when we think about that, the elements that we look at are multifaceted. It is possible to put heavy emphasis on a few of these and maybe not do the other ones so well, but the more you do and the better you do them, the stronger your culture will be. And frankly, the result will be you'll have folks that are super committed and do great work and are happy to tell their friends and recruit on behalf of your organization so that the talent is flowing in the door. So the elements that I would outline are begin with communication. Open and honest communication on a consistent and regular basis is key to the success of the organization and really connectivity between the employer and the employee. You need to know what's happening. You don't have to tell them everything down to the detail of balance sheets, but helping them understand where are you going as an organization? Why are you going there? What are the influencers behind decisions? How do they play a role in those decisions? All of that are examples of how communication can play a role. We could talk for an entire episode about communication, but I'm going to hit these at a high level as I work on to the next one, which really ties directly into communication, which is purpose. Getting clear on why your organization exists, not just to make a profit, not just so Joe can have a business to pass down to his family. That's not a why. That's Joe's why. But that's not a why that's going to drive and motivate the employees. That why the organization exists needs to be about more than making glass bottles. There needs to be, because the reality is half of the workforce in 2020 will be millennial aged and younger. This is a population that cares about the bigger world and the future of this planet. They want to know that the work they're doing matters in a way that's bigger than profit and product. And so if we think about Joe, maybe Joe's angle and maybe part of his give back to the world is we make great bottles for organizations like Sally who are making pure and wholesome, environmentally healthy product. And, you know, I could play with this one all day long. Purpose and designing that why are one of my favorite activities to work on with the clients that I work with. So once you have the why and it's bigger than profit and it resonates with your employees, which that's a trick in itself, but it can be done. Getting really clear on, well, how are we going to get there? What is that strategy? What mission are we on? How does that work? Oh, the example I often share is, you know, if we wanted to go to the North Pole and that was our goal and we're going by dog sled and we're not getting resupply along the way. We're going the whole way. We're bringing everything we need and we're not getting supplies along the way. I know that's the mission. Then I have to build a strategy to get me there. And I'm going to spend thoughtful and intentional time doing that, because if I don't, the mission will fail. So purpose is about something bigger than me and getting clear on why we're here and what we're accomplishing together and then building strategy to get there. The next piece that I would call out is leadership. So again, tying on to that analogy in the dog sled example to the North Pole, there's going to be a leader of the crew. Now, there might be multiple leaders. Maybe somebody's responsible for the food. Maybe somebody's responsible for taking care of the dogs. And maybe somebody's overall in charge, just like Joe and Sally, of the overall mission. The key there is that leader is also going to delegate and set expectations with the team. They are going to be an example of the team. They're going to be positive, because positivity will get you way farther than negativity. And they're actually going to have relationships with the team. Human, connected, emotional, rational, logical, a little bit of everything relationships, so that they know that they're connected and they can work together as a team. So leadership is one of those other elements that we're going to talk about. There's a whole depth to that, from being vulnerable to being yourself when you go every day to work. That's really key to leading an extraordinary culture in an organization. The last two elements I would start with is recognition, and I hit on that a little bit in the story I shared earlier. People like to be recognized. We like to know, number one, that we're on the right path. We've got connection, affirmation. The analogy that I like here is, it ties to a great marriage. I don't know of a marriage that works well in the sense that you go and you say, I do, and you say, I love you once, and then you don't say it again for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and yet you still may remain happily married. That's not normally how it works by any means. So in the same way, that work relationship really depends on human connection, recognition, and appreciation for the employees is a huge part of the success of the organization, in the same way it's a huge part of the success of a marriage. And the last one that I'll call out is really focusing on diversity within the organization and connection. So, you know, again, one thought, many minds, lots of creativity. I mean, those are two different opposites that are really key to think about when you're building that organization. And beyond connection and diversity in the organization, thinking about connection to the community that you pull talent from, the community that lives around your organization, those are opportunities both to build brand awareness, to build a talent pool, to give back, going back to the purpose comment I made earlier. If one of the purposes of your business is to provide support and stability into the community you work in, there are people who will be motivated and inspired by that. Maybe you've got a product that isn't about changing the world, but if your product and your space and the work you do is about creating sustainability and stability in the communities you live and work, that has the possibility to be a game changer. So as I shared, this podcast is really about exploring the elements of building an extraordinary culture that supports the thriving of your employees. And if you support your employees, the business will thrive. If you take care of your folks and help them be their best selves and build an ecosystem to surround them, you're certainly on the path towards long-term sustainability as an organization. We'll break that down over the future episodes. We'll talk to those who have gone before us. We'll hear some of the stories about the before and the after. And those who really can call out what it was like before they understood how important building that healthy ecosystem was and what it's like now. And, you know, for those who are looking for the angles, the stories, the opportunities to connect with their leadership, this is a tool that we expect will help you and build your story, case-making resources, so that you can increase the likelihood that your organization will find and attract and retain the talent. You'll be a great place to work, and you'll have people that really fit the nature of the business you're in. Thanks for listening to this episode of The Growth Collective. If you want to connect with me, you can find me on Facebook at Susan Morgan Bailey.